And we want to give our students a very eclectic experience so they can experience music from all periods.
Monday night, it begins with the campus band. There are four conductors.
There are. We have a very involved graduate instrumental conducting program. And so, obviously, those folks come here because we give them minutes in front of real players, and they actually get to perform music rather than watch or observe. It's not laboratory. It's the real deal. They're preparing the music. They're conducting it on a concert.
So will we see one per performance?
No, we don't really do it that way. The fourth band was created for a multitude of reasons, but the biggest one was to serve those graduate conducting interns. And so I'll conduct one piece since I'm the professor of record with that ensemble, but the grad students will do all of the rest of the music.
Will you begin?
I will end.
You will end. Okay. Well, let's talk about the beginning before
sure.
the ending. It begins with John Philip Sousa, an operetta that Sousa wrote music for.
That's correct. Most folks know El Capitan just for the march,
right,
because that's what's played out of the operetta the most. But Sousa really wanted to be a serious composer and not just known for his marches. He wanted his epitaph on his headstone not to read "The March King," but "The Greatest Composer of All Time." You know, so he had to write music that he considered serious and he thought that the public would consider serious.
And it's a wonderful piece.
It's fantastic. It's one of his best marches, let's face it. And it's played constantly all for the right reasons.
You follow that. Now, that's Michael Moon who's conducting, right?
Michael will do the first two pieces.
The first
that's
two.
Right.
That's followed by a Dutch composer.
The Netherlands, right.
Right.
He's from Belgium, and his name is Jacob de Haan, Ammerland, and it's about a series of mountain ranges there in Belgium that he grew up around that inspired him tremendously, and it's absolutely stunning.
And following that, you have another student on.
Well, Alex Bedore is up next, and the reason he's doing one and not two is because American River Songs is really built on three classic American river folk tunes, and so it's a more lengthy number, even though it's set in a single movement. And Pierre LaPlante is magical at weaving together those types of older pieces that all of us will know. You may not know the titles of them, but you'll definitely know the tune and you'll be able to hum them and tap your toe to them.
After Alex, a Wes King graduate conductor, he'll take care of conducting Harmony Heaven, C.L. Barnhouse, which I know as a publishing house.
Well, and that's his company. Of course, he started as a march composer, or composer period, circus tunes, all those kind of things. He played in circus bands and community bands, taught himself the cornet. It's a really great story. But anyway, when he moved to Iowa for that particular band job, he liked it there and settled down in Oskaloosa, Iowa, is still the home of C.L. Barnhouse Publishing.
And it's Harmony Heaven that is his composition.
Exactly right. And again, it's not a march you may know the title of, but as soon as they get into the fifth bar and you start hearing the theme, you'll know it.
Then you will come on stage to conduct the end of the first half of Monday night's program. And this is a piece written in 1962 by a man who's strongly connected to Arkansas and Ouachita Baptist.
Absolutely. We lost Francis Macbeth last month. And, you know, that's been tough for all of us. He was named Composer Laureate of the state in 75, the first Composer Laureate in America, and he's been the only Composer Laureate in Arkansas's history. He taught at Ouachita for four decades, and then once he retired, he's still been very involved in Arkansas music and music education for the last 15 years. So I've known, you know, Francis has been an integral part of Arkansas for the last half century. And his music, not only is band music, but choral, orchestra, chamber, he's written everything. Beloved by everybody. I mean, I played for him as a junior high student in honor bands, as a high school student. My first year to teach public school, he was the all-state band conductor. So I stood behind the band the whole convention just to listen and watch him rehearse. And I wrote page after page of legal notes. The man was absolutely brilliant and hilarious.
Really?
Hilarious. Had his own radio show in Arkadelphia. He wrote all the material. I mean, a stitch. You couldn't listen to Francis without being on your side, you know, holding your sides rolling in the floor.
So safe to say there's part of him that's with you every time you go on stage.
Absolutely true. I was fortunate enough to conduct the Arkansas All-State Band this past weekend, and we did a piece, and his widow Mary came, and very emotional for everybody. So, yes, Francis and I have a connection just like everybody in this state does. I'm not trying to say that mine is stronger than anybody else's, but he's left a mark that will be with us forever because of his music.
Then comes, this is still Monday night, the Symphonic Band.
That's correct. And this is a really terrific program that Chris Knighton has put together. Canzona Septimitone, number 2 by the great Gabrielli. Of course, this is written for St. Mark's in Venice, one of the great brass choir fanfare type pieces in Gabrielli's output.
Yeah, and you move from that to Ray Vaughan Williams.
Right. You can't beat Rosa Midre. No. And all again, it's one of those pieces that everybody knows and a beloved composer, certainly in Europe, but has gotten a very strong American audience over the last, 100, 150 years. And then we close with this hot, burning blues piece called Blue Shades by Frank Tekele. And we're actually featuring our guest artist on this evening last, which is pretty rare, as you know. Mm-hmm. And Sarah Manastra is going to come out and just smoke the clarinet.
It's a clarinet kind of two nights.
It is. We wanted, we did the trumpet thing last year with Al Vizzuti and Rex Richardson, and that worked so well, we thought we'd do a kind of a clarinet fest.
And Blue Shades, which is a recent piece, there's a hint of Rhapsody in Blue to me.
No question. There's a lot of blues, even though there's not a single 12-bar blues in the piece. And only a little bit of it swung eighth note. But it's every kind of blue that your brain could come to. You can pick all the blues in the world, and then there'll be a piece of that. But there is that little kind of tipping of the hat, certainly to Gershwin in there.
That's Monday night. You go home. You sleep.
No, you don't sleep.
Then Tuesday night, March 6th, it's the concert band and the Wind Symphony. And the concert band, again, all over the place.
We have a new conductor for the concert band, Benjamin Chamberlain, who has a terrific pedigree, undergrad from Minnesota, master's from LSU, and a doctorate from Northwestern. And we're just so delighted he's in Fayetteville, and he's doing a spectacular job. He's going to open with the Strauss-Konings March, which obviously, again, a very standard march in the repertoire, a great way to open a concert. Then we go to a completely new piece by John Mackey called Foundry, which is kind of crazy. It's got he wrote it for instruments that are not traditional percussion. That way it's never going to sound the same way twice because he lets the players pick the types of materials that they use to play on. Yeah, so it's really clever. And then the Leonard Bernstein Danzon comes next, and Bernstein, how are we going to get better than Lenny? And then we're going to close with another Arkansan, as you've already noted, Clifton Williams, who was one of Francis's very best friends on the planet. Symphonic Dance Number 3, The Fiesta, which is just a rousing and fun all the way around fiesta for the audience to go home with.
And then the Wind Symphony. This is not that the other three are not big, but there's something pretty big here.
Well, we've done – last semester we did two world premieres, one on each concert, and we're starting this semester with another world premiere. We're going to open the program with the Beowulf of Francis Macbeth to honor him and to celebrate his life. And then we're going to move into the premiere by Percy Grainger of Suite from the Jungle Book cycle. And you say, well, he's been dead since the early 60s. This is the first time that this choral music that Grainger was inspired by Rudyard Kipling's Jungle Book poetry has been set for the wind band. And so our own Chow Ragsdale has done a magnificent job of setting these 10 movements. It's really going to be a spectacular premiere, I think. And then we're going to do more clarinet, fireworks, pyrotechnics. Nobuchad Choltishanta is going to come out and do the Black Dog of Scott McAllister. And if you know anything about Black Dog, you know that that's a Led Zeppelin tune.
Well, yes.
And it is. It's a Led Zeppelin tune for clarinet and wind band. And you get a Stairway to Heaven quote. You get all these neat Jimi Hendrix guitar licks all throughout it. And it's in an insane clarinet part. I wish I'd have brought the clarinet part because nobody could believe a human would be able to do this. The kids don't know anything about Zeppelin.
Well,
I
was going to ask because Black Dog, the Zeppelin song, is older than many of the pieces you're playing.
Absolutely right. And, as a matter of fact, we were playing, the other day.
Right.
And I'm going, do y'all even know the text, the words to this? And they all looked at me like, no, why would we? Look, we were all born in the 90s. And so I had to sing them the text. And the fact that I could remember it was shocking, quite frankly. But, it's music I grew up with. And then, of course, we're going to close the concert with the epic Symphony in B-flat by Paul Hindemith, which a lot of people will say is the finest piece ever written for winds in the history of wind band music. And it'd be hard to argue that statement.
How much do you want an audience member to know about the program? Do you want us to sit down 20 minutes before and see what's coming and read a little bit about, or –
I think that enhances the experience quite a bit. I mean, we do extensive program notes for that very purpose. I always feel like I have a better listening experience if I understand what the composer was trying to say. Not that any of this is really programmatic, but that I kind of get where they were coming from, know something, you know, about what I'm getting ready to hear. For me, that's a big help. And I think that most of our patrons, certainly the guys that have been with us for years now, really do appreciate that heads up, if you will, mm-hmm. kind of knowledge before they listen. Sometimes, you know, hearing something completely for the first time with no background is pretty refreshing. So I get that too. But we don't hold a gun to your head and say, you got to read the program notes. You know, every person can approach it the way that they want to experience the music.